This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Terrifying. It was overwhelming, and we're still processing. It's been a lot. It's completely overwhelming.
That's Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker. He spoke to CBS Mornings hours after the FBI released a statement calling the standoff a terrorism-related matter in which the Jewish community was targeted. So they're saying they were targeted, and I'll tell you why. This was a Texas synagogue, a tense 10 to 11-hour standoff that happened in Colleyville, Texas, in between Dallas and Fort Worth. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us on this version of the show. So what happened was a gunman decided as he would tap on the window of the synagogue, wanted to just have a conversation with the rabbi. The rabbi let him in, made him some tea, had a conversation, and suddenly realized maybe an hour into it something was going sideways. He had a gun, and he saw an opportunity, and he took that opportunity. So why did this happen? Why did somebody put himself in that situation? This British national, Malik Faisal Akram, he was getting agitated at the end of that standoff, and when it appeared like he's not going to get what he wants, he might have taken action. So there was a good ending to this one, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But why did he walk into the congregation Beth Israel in Colleyville? Why did he do that? He was armed. Why did he do that? Why did he trick the rabbi into letting him in and get into his good graces? And the reason is because he was fighting for, he decided he was fighting for the release of Dr. Siddiqui, a Pakistani neuroscientist serving 86 years, all totaled, in a Texas prison for attempting to murder U.S. military personnel in Afghanistan about a decade ago. So pretty disturbing to hear this crazy link to anti-Semitism. And now what that link is, I mean, why that particular congregation, just random, but one of the things that was known is this Dr. Siddiqui was called Lady Al-Qaeda, and she was a raging anti-Semite who demanded that jurors be genetically tested for Jewish blood when she was on trial in the U.S. for 14 days. And then, of course, was sentenced to what I just said. But the FBI SWAT team comes in, and they're there, and they're trying to maneuver this and figuring out what they can do to obviously get the hostages out alive. And ultimately, when the hostage taker got a little bit out of control, you know, when it was clear he wasn't going to get, but this 44-year-old wasn't going to get what he wanted, Malik Faisal Akram, the rabbi saw a moment, Rabbi Citron Walker, as I mentioned his name at the top, and you heard what he had to say. He saw a moment where he could throw a chair, and they were close enough to the exit where a couple of the other hostages, because there was just a handful of them, could run out, and they got away. And then ultimately, Akram was gunned down by the SWAT team. And then the other part of this is that, you know, this is a transatlantic investigation because he had come into the United States from England, and this was 6 weeks ago. He wasn't on any terror watch list. He was finding himself in a homeless shelter in Dallas where he was coming and going, and nobody had any idea. They said he was quiet and to himself, and then one day he was gone, and then that day ultimately turned into what became this 10 to 11-hour standoff at this synagogue. But he has two teenagers, Akram's children, and whether or not you know, what were they, what did they know? They were picked up because what did they possibly witness? What do they know? Are they part of this? This is all part of that ongoing investigation. And frightening, right? Frightening to, if you saw the synagogue, it's like in anybody's, could be any place of worship in a sort of sleepy suburb, not near the big city, not close to it, but not on top of the big city, and just became the place that he decided that he was going to go, I guess because it was probably, I'm thinking out loud, probably it was close enough to the prison where Siddiqui is serving time. I mean, this is a woman who, they picked her up in 2008. She was detained by Afghan law enforcement. They found notes referring to a mass casualty attack, possibly targeting New York. And when they attempted to interview her in Afghanistan, she grabbed an army officer's weapon and shot at an officer and another member of the interview team. So then she was brought to New York, as I said, for trial. She told the judge she wanted the jurors to undergo that genetic testing and said, if they have a Zionist or Israeli background, they are all mad at me. They should be excluded if you want to be fair. So she's incarcerated once again in Fort Worth at the Federal Medical Center, Carswell Prison is what it's called. It's 25 miles, give or take, from that synagogue. None of the four hostages in Saturday's attack, none of them were injured, thank goodness. During this time period, as they were trying to figure out, negotiate however they could, Akram's brother, Golbar, actually released a statement saying family members spent hours talking to the brother during the siege, and they said he was suffering from mental health issues. They were confident he wouldn't harm the hostages, and luckily that did not happen, but there were concerns because of the way he was acting, and of course he was armed, and even at one point they were saying he had a gun and possibly bombs, and whether or not that was him exaggerating or not, that's all still part of that investigation. But frightening because we all held our collective breaths, let's face it, across the country. You know, whatever church you go to, if you're church going, whatever group you belong to, the last thing you can imagine is being in this situation and just suddenly finding yourself in the middle of it. And what do you do? How do you react? And I would say the rabbi who had some training in this probably did the right thing. And when he had that opportunity, he took the opportunity because he knew that it was starting to get tense and took the opportunity, and it worked because the chair was enough of a distraction that they could fly out the door and get away safely. But very, 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 very scary, needless to say. All right, there are more things to come on this show, including, just a fair warning, we see movies about this all the time, but there is a massive asteroid that's going to pass by the Earth on Tuesday, 3,600 feet wide. The asteroid 1994 PC-1 will pass by Earth at 4:51 p.m. But don't worry, unlike the movies, you can look up, and it's not political, and it is not going to hit us. It is not, I've told, it is massive, so you might be able to see it, but it is not going to hit us. Okay, so I'm going to look up. I'll tell you what I see. We'll see if I can get any good photos of it. Gary Trudell, a fine author, is joining us next. Hang with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Room, Gary Trudell has written a book, Welcome to My World. Gary, welcome to these airwaves. So tell us about your journey to writing this book. Why'd you write it?
I've been writing stuff for probably 45 years, and I basically written just to help me deal with the world around me. And I have a hard time expressing my emotions and stuff, so I found writing is a good way of doing that. And a few months ago, I was sitting there feeling closed in by the pandemic and everything. I said, what can I do to take advantage of this, I call it downtime. And so I come up with the idea and to just start putting all the stuff I've written together and coming up with a poetry book.
Yes, and so tell us about the poetry book. Tell us about what inspires you. What are the things that you wrote about?
Basically, I've written
lots of poems.
I'm a recovering addict, and I'm a satanic ritual abuse survivor. I've written about that a bit, and I've written some stuff about my lifestyle. My nickname is Garbage Can Gary. I go around picking stuff out of garbage cans.
Wow, so let me stop you there. Garbage Can Gary, if that's your nickname, what's the most interesting thing that you found that you've, we call it dumpster diving, that you've gotten?
Oh, anywhere from, I remember from one time finding a hunting rifle and a shotgun.
Wow.
I turned that into the police right away.
Yeah.
Money, probably everything I wear, all my clothes I found.
Wow.
TVs, computers, the computer I use, the laptop I found in a dumpster.
Wow. People just throw away all kinds of things. That's fascinating. What do you hope people take away, Gary, from reading your book, Welcome to My World, which, of course, will be on Amazon and Barnes & Noble? What do you hope they take away from reading your poetry?
I hope people get inspired to find their own voice, how to, you know, whatever, whether it was creative or whatever, that they find their own way of doing things and their own way of expression. And particularly with people who have a hard time expressing themselves because of trauma in their life and stuff, and that they find some freedom.
Ah, there you go. I like that freedom. Will you write another poetry book or another book?
I am not sure. It took me 60, I'm 63 years old. It took me a long time to get the first one done. I was kind of thinking after I finished with this book, and then I would like to write one poem about 50 pages long.
Wow, so one poem that would roll all the way through 50 pages, that would be a very long poem. But other people have done it and put it into a book, actually, so that's doable.
I was told one time that I should write a story about my life, like a novel kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at, I'm not the best at writing that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I'm good at writing what I call poetry.
Yeah, poetry.
My life, one book in poetry there, but telling my life story.
Yeah, maybe short stories too. So interesting. All right, the book is called Welcome to My World, Gary Trudell. Thanks for coming on, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to do this.
All right, and we finish this segment with, you know, it's interesting talking about dumpster diving for a second. I have a nephew who, like Gary, finds these amazing things, and he almost has a collection of oddities, and it's crazy what people, it is crazy kind of what people will throw away and how one man's trash is another man's treasure, and I think that's what's so interesting about him, that he found a way to pull it all together, especially dealing with addiction. So I definitely applaud that. One thing I don't applaud is what we're seeing with worker shortages, but what do you do, right? Because the Omicron corona variant is having people call in sick, because whether it's 5 days or it's a positive test, then it's a negative test, or vice versa, whatever it is, we are still seeing massive economic snarls because of that. On a bigger level, like if we talk about freight is taking longer than ever to cross the Pacific. I know some people who have companies that were doing pretty decent. They had their blood, sweat, and tears poured into it. They were hiring a lot of workers and saw everything collapse because of that. But goods are now taking an average of 113 days to travel from Chinese factory gates to American hands, basically. And this is info from Flexport, which is a freight forwarder. So this is their biz. This is what they do. And, of course, there is the flotilla, the floating traffic jam, the container ships waiting to enter the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. There are about 106 now at last count. And it's not all clear. So 24/7, trying to make things get back to normal, it still isn't. So you look at what's happening on the big level with cargo still and trying to get those supplies in. And then you look at, you know, the supply issues becoming a big challenge to the Federal Reserve, their idea of cooling inflation, if that's going to happen. And then the Fed's principal inflation fighting tool, of course, is higher interest rates, which won't stop the shortage of what we can't get that's being blocked, like the semiconductors, which affects a lot of people. So right now, most economists expect the current 7% inflation rate to decline very sharply later this year, let's hope, with the supply pressures easing. But they also expect inflation to be maybe a passing concern. But we've got these lingering supply chain bottleneck issues, and that's also telling me that they could be wrong, right? You just look at the ports. You want the answer? You know, it's like, follow the ports, follow the goods, follow the money, and you'll get an answer as to, wow, maybe these prices will get better, but they're not going to get better with the supply chain for certain goods that where they're stuck. You know, if you have containers sitting on docks in L.A. or Savannah, Georgia, or, you know, wherever, and I've been to both of those places, and I've seen those huge cargo ships, and I've seen what happens even with a bottleneck, then you're going to continue to have problems with the supply constraints. And then on another level in the, you know, the great resignation is what they're calling it, people saying, forget it, I'm not doing this job anymore. But then just in general in having enough people because they're coming down with positive tests to work. I'm seeing that everywhere. I see it at the pharmacy. I had to wait in line for a prescription over the weekend, and I'm not exaggerating at all. It was 20 people deep, and I felt badly. I even gave up my one spot in line because, I mean, the guy that was behind me looked like he was going to fall over and not make it and had to wait in this line because they couldn't have even a drive-through because there wasn't enough people to work it. And then I noticed at the vet's office, same thing. Normally they have weekend hours, and they can't have weekend hours because they don't have enough vet techs. And then I also noticed, and some of you may have noticed this too as well, is the grocery shelves. How are the groceries doing in your store? You know, it's weird. It's just certain things. It's not toilet paper anymore, but it could be things like salsa. It just depends on the area that you live. And I noticed that there were plenty of things that were picked over in my two stores, and they weren't what they were the first time around. Hey, coming up on the show, we are going to have a conversation with Scott Devon in our author's corner. But plus, we close the show with my man cave, and we'll be talking about what to look forward to in the NFL playoffs as we go to the divisional round. By the way, we're going to have a Nail the Score for the Super Bowl, but that's weeks and weeks away. And if you didn't hear it, the Rams beat the Cardinals on Monday 34-11, so they move on. Sorry, fans of Arizona. Thanks to all of you for listening to the show. Make it count, people.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
A report from Michigan's Office of the Auditor General ties Governor Gretchen Whitmer's administration to more COVID-19 deaths at long-term care facilities than previously reported. The report released on Monday identified 7,010 COVID-19 deaths linked to long-term care facilities between January 1, 2020 and July 2, 2021. That's 1,511 more deaths than what the state had previously reported. The Whitmer administration pushed back back against the report's accuracy. Tudor Dixon, who is a Republican running to unseat Governor Whitmer in November, said Whitmer is worse than New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Moderna hopes to market a combined booster vaccination for COVID-19, the flu, and RSV as soon as the fall of 2023. The company said the combo vaccine will allow protection without having to obtain multiple jabs. This is USA Radio News. The rabbi of a Texas synagogue where a terrorist took hostages Saturday during live stream services described the escape after an hours-long standoff. The rabbi spoke to CBS Mornings.
Two gentlemen who were still with me, that they were ready to go. The exit wasn't too far away. I told them to go. I threw a chair at the gunman, and I headed for the door. And all three of us were able to get out without even a shot being fired.
Authorities said the terrorist was killed Saturday night after the last hostages ran out of Congregation Beth Israel. Despite attacks from people in her own party over her continued support of the filibuster, some Arizona residents told Fox News Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema is doing a good job representing them.
I'm just pleased that she's not going along with her Democratic Party.
I hear some of the choices that she's making. Boy, do we need a small amount of people to make some new decisions for us.
VP Kamala Harris said she's not going to absolve any senator who doesn't take action on passing voting rights legislation. This is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Green Room, Scott Devon. He's written several books, and we're going to talk about Dog Man. Scott, what drew you to this? Why'd you write this book?
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a myth here, legend, like Bigfoot out west, northern Michigan. There's been sightings of the what's called the Michigan Dog Man for years, since I believe in the 1880s when they first documented his sighting. But I had a small little cabin up in northern Michigan by Sleeping Bear Bay on Lake Michigan. And I had a neighbor that was lived there year-round, and I was just seasonal in the summer. But he said he spotted the dog man, and he had a picture that he took, and it was in the distance. So it was really, you know, not conclusive. But he swears, and I believe him, that, you know, it was the dog man, the way he moved. So I kind of kept that in the back of my head, and one day I thought, well, you know, that could make a nice premise for a story, and so I took it on and developed it a little bit, obviously, further, and really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun writing it.
And you know, you can tell you had fun writing it. There's a lot of funny lines, and it's very witty. And something that you say, and even it's advertised somewhere in the book, I think I saw it, that you have a lot of these rock and roll references. So tell us about that.
Actually, I think you're referring to my previous book with the Henry Ford character with the rock and roll reference rather than the dog man. But yeah, it's, you know, it was, I try to include some wit and charm humor through my characters. And what's a little unique about this book, too, is I wrote from the perspective and the voice of the dog man, which was, I think, what people resonate with. Hearing his voice, and obviously he's half man, half animal, half dog, I guess, and canine. So he has some of those instincts of a canine and some instincts of humans, of course. And I kind of play around with that quite a bit as far as his dichotomy of the two different voices in his head, which makes it kind of fun.
So besides in doing the Dog Man book and then the previous book that I mentioned in talking about how different that one was, like you said, I said that in the beginning of this, Henry Ford, how many books have you written altogether?
Dog Man is my third book, and I just completed my fourth, the first draft, which always goes to me pretty quickly. I'm pretty prolific at that, but the real work begins after the draft is done, of course, with the editing and the rewriting. But the ideas come pretty quickly to me, but again, it probably takes a good full year after that to do the heavy lifting, and that becomes work. but the joy of writing the first draft to me is why I did and really enjoyed doing it.
Yeah. Was it fun because it's such a local legend in Michigan in general, but like you said, northern Michigan. Was it fun to write the whole idea, flush it out, the Dog Man deal?
Yeah, it was. I'm anxious to see how the book does up in that area. It's obviously seasonal up in northern Michigan with the weather, and so I've reached out to some distribution points up there and also starting an advertising campaign with the media up in that area. So I figure that's a great place to start, and we'll get a lot of hopefully local love for the Dog Man up there.
Yeah. So, and of course, and you said this, you know, I think there's different descriptions. It's like Bigfoot, because I grew up near the Pine Barrens in New Jersey, and it was all about, no, Bigfoot's here, and you'd have different descriptions. You've heard different descriptions about Dog Man. What was the most interesting?
Well, I think, you know, the most interesting part to me about the Dog Man was that he's much different than his appearance, and I think a lot of people can relate to that, you know, we're maybe not necessarily defined by the cover of the book rather than what's inside. So the Dog Man, you know, is this physically imposing 8 foot plus 600 pound monster. But he's very sweet and soulful and thoughtful and funny. So, you know, I think that plays off real well and sort of, you know, borrowing from the Frankenstein, monster of a person that maybe has these, you know, human traits that of course are complicated but lovable at one point. And I think I really tried diligently to have that come across in the Dog Man, and he's very very thoughtful, and you know, his big challenge is to reach out to humanity that was rejecting just based on his appearance.
Yeah. Well, people read this book because it's so different from the one that you mentioned about Henry Ford when I asked you about the rock and roll references in The Second Death. It's a totally different kind of novel. What do you hope people take away from The Dog Man?
Well, I think that, you know, hopefully they'll take, away from The Dog Man that he is, you know, reaching out to have a connection, and not to give away a lot, but he does find a connection with the local professor up in northern Michigan, who's probably one of the only humans that would accept him and get to know him and mentor him. So I think a lot of us in our lives hopefully find a mentor, or maybe more than one if you're very fortunate, that can help guide you in your development as a character and person. And, you know, he definitely was attracted by music, because the professor is a professor of music and an accomplished pianist. So the professor gives him insight to not only music and life, but also introduces him to art and film and movies and other cultural things that the Dog Man really gravitates to, because the Dog Man was a self-taught learner, and he actually learned how to read and by actually borrowing books, which is basically stealing. He went to a library and confiscated many books when he was a young, angry dog man, I say, and was self-taught through these books, mostly the picture books, and learned how to read and write on his own. And so the professor sees that he has a very much of a love of reading and gives him some of his favorite books. And so that shared gift of culture really, I think, is inspiring.
Boy, yeah. It's like I said, it's so interesting to watch how you put this puzzle together, especially when you have people that have different thoughts about, wow, what is Dog Man? What have I heard about Dog Man? Fascinating to me to see how you weave that into this tale. And I, like you, think it's beyond Michigan, actually, because there's something about, you know, creatures and what we see and, you know, all of that. Did you ever think that you would, I mean, here you are, you've got this third book ready. Did you ever think with Dog Man, The Second Death, and now this third one coming out that you would be a writer? I mean, you're starting to get to the point where you're pumping them out.
Yeah, I guess I always loved, not necessarily reading. I do read quite a bit. Actually, I think a lot, but mostly for news, and I'm kind of a news junkie that way, world events. But I really, you know, growing up, I really found that most people do a connection to movies and the visual arts. I guess later in my life, I've had more time to explore that. And my creative side is definitely still alive and flourishing at an age of just turning 60. So, it's never too late to find your true passions and be able to tackle on some of these fun projects.
Yeah, so now, like I said, you've got Second Death, Dog Man, and this third one. What's the third one?
It's quite a different book. I'm sorry, I giggled because I just finished it. And I sent out, I actually had this conversation with a fellow writer that was nominated for Academy Awards in the Dallas Buyers Club, and she and I discussed that same topic. But it's quite a diversion. It's basically this person is a serial killer, but what's different, a twist in this book, is he actually is reformed later in life. So I think, you know, we're, and it's called Mother, the title, and he was abused growing up, physically, mentally, and so he had justification for, you know, his actions, but he does have redemption and turns his life, does the 180 later in life, what I like is some people would say, well, once a serial killer, always a serial killer, and that there's actually redemption and hope and even in the most dire circumstances. So it's kind of I like to shock a little bit as far as the premises and how a character's arc can develop from, like the Dog Man, for instance, coming from that challenge of being identified as a monster into somebody that's very valuable to society, which again is what I see the serial killer becoming from that type of beginning. So there's some parallels, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations on that. We'll look for that book, too, as well. Scott Devin, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much, and wish everybody a happy new year.
Thanks, Scott.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Well, crazy wild card weekend in the NFL, and worth reviewing some of the things that happened in these games. First of all, to me, the Cowboys losing to the 49ers was inexcusable. I mean, listen, they had an exciting kind of up and down season. There's no question about that. But to be 12-5, to get to where they were, to have the home field advantage, and then to lose to the 49ers, again, 23-17. And here was what the key thing that happened, I think, in this game. There were a couple of moments. One, 14 penalties for the Cowboys. You just can't do it. That is an undisciplined team in the playoffs. A couple of penalties here and there. I get it. Mike McCarthy needs to go. Mike McCarthy, no offense, but your time has come and gone with Dallas. Pack your bags. If Jerry's smart, he makes a move here because this is unacceptable. Look, the Cowboys season really hinged on a desperate, desperate final drive. And what an odd decision. They never even threw a pass into the end zone. I mean, even if it's a Hail Mary, look, the Cowboys had one of the most famous Hail Marys in history in the 70s. At least you threw something up. Instead, what happens with 14 seconds left at the San Francisco 41-yard line, which was pretty amazing how they got there in the first place, McCarthy and offensive coordinator Kellen Moore called a quarterback draw to pick up easy, quick yards. McCarthy apparently wanted a chance to run four vertical routes rather than heave a Hail Mary. And it didn't work out because what happened is when Dak Prescott scrambled, he slid down, handed the ball to his center rather than the official. The clock ran out as Prescott was spiking it. So afterwards, of course, McCarthy was questioned about it, and he was very defiant. He said, look, it was the right decision. We shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted. When you take a big risk, you can't complain when it doesn't work out. Well, I can complain. I think it was a stupid play. And
everybody knows you have to hand it, according to the players I know, you have to hand it to the official. That didn't happen because, of course, there was the panic at the end of this and it was trying to make something happen, and I completely get that. But I think there was too many coaching errors for the Dallas Cowboys in an important game that they should have gotten by with the 49ers. Not that the 49ers don't have talent, and they certainly showed some of that talent. I mean, it's Jimmy Garoppolo who gets no credit, I think, or not enough credit in the Bay Area for what he's done. He did what he had to do, and they won. So they move on. That's it. And I think the Cowboys need to move on from Mike McCarthy. Who is it that they go to? I mean, do they go to the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, and offer him the job? Do they go to the defensive dude, Dan Quinn? But remember, Dan Quinn was the coach of the Atlanta Falcons when they were crushing the Patriots in the Super Bowl and then gave up the tremendous amount of points that they gave up to lose that game in the second half. And, you know, hey, he got them to the Super Bowl, and it's not that he doesn't have talent, but I don't know that I would go in that direction. Some other things to look at, I think, from the playoffs is looking at the Bengals. Wow, 31 years. Imagine that, 31 years to win their first playoff game. They haven't won a playoff game since 1991. Joe Burrow is amazing in just a couple of years what he's done. So the Bengals beat the Raiders 26-19, and that was a wild game in the AFC. Narrowly they beat them because it came down to a few things that could have happened, including a controversial play on a whistle where the Bengals went up 27 at that point in the game, and the Raiders were saying they didn't hear that they heard the whistles, and that shouldn't have been a touchdown in the end zone, as it looked like Joe Burrow was kind of going out of bounds. He wasn't out of bounds, and definitely not. And the whistles, it didn't matter. They just moved on from that. And I think that officiating crew probably will not be back in that capacity, because that would definitely be something controversial that happened. But moving on from that, I mean, hey, a win is a win, and they deserved it. Cincinnati allowed the fifth fewest rushing yards per game this season before holding the Raiders mostly in check on the ground in a first-round win. And Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, as I mentioned, is going to be looking to continue his connections downfield with an incredible receiving core against a Titans defense, because that's who they've got up next Saturday in the divisional playoffs. That was eighth worst against the pass, so I don't know how the Bengals don't win this one against the Titans, but it is the playoffs, and anything can happen, as we know, in the playoffs, and it does happen, right? It absolutely can happen. All right, the matchup that I really am looking forward to, and the two games that were interesting to me, the Bills just completely disassembled the Patriots. Look, Bill Belichick, the coach of the Patriots, is going to be 70. He's been amazing in his role as the coach of the Pats, even if you don't like some of the nonsense that's happened with Belichick. I mean, he does have the nickname Belichick, but you can't deny what he's been able to do for the Patriots. So the Bills, Josh Allen is an incredible quarterback, and he's really showing up big time. And he diced and sliced that Pats defense, 5 touchdowns for him. So you look at that win, and then you look at the Chiefs, and they dismantled the Steelers 42-21. And, of course, Pat Mahomes, last year losing the Super Bowl, the year before winning the Super Bowl. And now you've got Mahomes and Allen going up against each other, and I love this game. I think this game has the potential to be one of the best games of the season, of the second season, whatever you want to call it, because it is like the second season. And I really, really look at this matchup from the point of view of, wow, Josh Allen versus Pat Mahomes and the experience of Pat Mahomes. And wow, just, I mean, to me, again, probably the best game, probably one of the best games that we're going to see. Thinking of what happened for both of them on the road to this and now moving forward for this game. I mean, look, the Chiefs used 404 passing yards and 5 touchdowns for Mahomes. So they had an easy win over the Steelers in what was the Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger's final NFL game. Certainly we believe that anyway. So that to me is a matchup to absolutely look at in this upcoming weekend. The Eagles the Eagles have some decisions to make. I mean, look, it was a nothing game. The Buccaneers were just blowing them out. There was garbage time touchdowns, 15 points in the fourth quarter, but way too late, obviously. Costly mistakes, a little bit sloppy with the penalties there. And I think the question that the Eagles are going to have to answer is, what are they going to do at quarterback? Are they going to stick with the guy who brung them? Are they going to stick with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback, or is there going to be a move? I mean, Nick Sirianni, first year, it was an improbable team that they get in at 7, right? And it was a terrible, terrible game, though. And they've got to build that franchise. So there's another observation. While Mike McCarthy needs to go with the Cowboys in the NFC East, I think the Eagles have to make a decision on what's going to happen at quarterback for them moving forward. And certainly it showed up in the way they had a game plan and what they did in the game against Tampa. I did not think they were going to beat Tampa, but I did not think it was going to be the most boring game of the weekend. It was boring. It really, really was. A couple of other quick side notes. I said Big Ben, this should be it. He said his career with the Steelers has been an honor. You could see there was people in the stands that had traveled to Kansas City to say farewell to Big Ben. And, you know, they didn't get to extend their season, but they did make it to the playoffs. And you think of, you know, Mike Tomlin even said, man, number 7, it's been an honor and a pleasure, man. I mean, that's one of the things, one of his quotes from after the game. And, you know, at times the Pittsburgh Steelers were unstoppable with Roethlisberger. And even Pat Mahomes, the young quarterback for the Chiefs in dismantling the Steelers, said, a tremendous player that I have a ton of respect for, the way he plays the game, the competitor that he is. He said, I've watched him growing up. I have a ton of respect for him. That's what I told him. If this is his last game, he did it the right way. So he did it the right way, and this is his last season. That makes a sense. I mean, that makes sense. But the Steelers' only score before the third quarter was a 26-yard fumble return by the great outside linebacker T.J. Watt. And that briefly gave them a 7-0 lead in the second quarter. But you know, Roethlisberger has played in 249 regular season games for the Steelers, and Sunday night's game marked his 23rd postseason start for them. He turns 40 on March 2nd. He hasn't formally announced his retirement from the league, but pretty much he's hinted, and he said as much before the Steelers' final home game of the regular season in Week 17. He said all signs are pointing to this could be it, and at 40 and the run he's had, it completely makes sense to me. So many more thoughts on the NFL and the upcoming games, and in future Man Caves this week, we'll certainly address that. Remember, you can address me anytime. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Thoughts on the Man Cave or anything else. Make it count, people. It's 2022.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.